Well, we are super excited to be here with you this morning. We are so appreciative for the opportunity to come and to share what the Lord's been doing in our lives. Just a couple of quick things. That video, we love that video, but that's not necessarily specifically about us or our ministry, but it is about Mission Aviation, which we are really a big part of. So we just kind of love to start our presentations with that. And one other thing, just to kind of set the tone this morning, the only reason that my wife and I are here and that our family's doing what we're doing is because Jesus is a redeemer of lost people, and he is the one that we put our trust in. We have no other plan, and we just give him every bit of the credit for everything that he's done in our family, that he is doing, and that he's doing with Kingdom AmeriCorps, the ministry that we are a part of. So we just want to give Jesus Christ all the glory this morning. So thanks, Pastor Dylan, for letting us be here. We're grateful to Lauren and Stephen for housing us while we're here, and we're just so excited. We have been officially on staff with a ministry called Kingdom AmeriCorps. I don't know how familiar you are with Kingdom AmeriCorps. I know the Shireys and the Grollemans know about Kingdom AmeriCorps. Does anybody else know about it, have heard of it?
Yes.
One person, all right. Cool, so this is going to be new for everybody. That's great. We're excited about that. So we've officially been on staff since 2020 for about 3 years, but we've served the past 2 summers full, and then we've come back to New York. So we haven't been able to relocate permanently yet, but that is what we feel the Lord has us doing. So what we want to share this morning is a little bit of our backstory, how this all started, and then some info about Kingdom AmeriCorps, and then kind of where we're going from here. So, but before we do that, we should probably introduce our family and sort of tell you who we are a little bit.
Yes, we are Dennis and Stacy Cachardo, as you guys have heard, and we have 6 kids, 3 of which are here. We have 3 boys first and then 3 girls. And we have pictures at some point when the AV stuff is working. So we'll just continue, and then we will scroll through quickly afterwards. So we have 3 boys. 2 are out of the house. Our 3rd boy is graduating in a month. I did already, multiple times. It's okay. It's all right. We said this was the morning. Stuff wasn't going to, it's all right. It's just how it works. So we have someone graduating next month, and then we have the 3 girls here with us. Ladies, would you just stand up for a quick moment, please? Thank you. That's Emma, Lynn, and Clara. Go ahead and sit down. Thanks. I love embarrassing them just slightly. And so one of our boys is in the Navy. There we are. That's us. One of the guys is in the Navy on an aircraft carrier in Japan. The 2nd guy is a full-time machinist in New York and has his own apartment. And the 3rd guy is graduating. So a senior. We have a 10th grader. 8th grade and 6th grade. We're a homeschool family. The grades kind of get meshed together.
You're supposed to know. You're the one teaching them.
It's fine. And let's see. So yes, we our home church is in Vestal, New York, and we have been a part of that church for a little over 10 years, and we live in excuse me, Port Crane, New York, upstate New York, about 3.5 hours away from the city. We're farm country and beautiful hills and land and not big towns.
Okay, so how does a family, just a regular family like this, all of a sudden decide that they want to relocate to Alaska and, you know, be a part of a flight training ministry? So when we got married almost 25 years ago, we had no thoughts about becoming missionaries. We loved when missionaries would come to our church. We thought it was great, and it was cool what they did, but it was never something that we ever thought we would do. But the Lord, as you all may know, he has his own plans. And with us, this all started, and it's very, very simple, but it's the tool that the Lord used. I was reading a book. The book is called Radical by David Platt. I don't know if anybody's heard of that book. And it's a very small way. You know, you think it would be this, you know, amazing vision or something like that, but he used a book in my life to totally change the direction of not only me, but this family. So that is exactly what happened. In that book, I'm just going to read what it says on the back, because he's a lot smarter than me, and he can describe his own book better than I can. But the book is about David Platt challenges Christians to wake up, trade in false values rooted in the American dream, and embrace the notion that each of us is blessed by God for a global purpose. So, you know, I started reading this book, and it was very, very uncomfortable for me because the author was talking about really radical ways to be able to really, really follow the true biblical gospel and step out and really serve the Lord. And it was a real kind of a, I don't know, like a gut check for me, because there was a lot of the things in the book that I didn't think I was willing to do. And I struggled quite a bit with it. But I kept on going, kept on reading it. And there was two sections I just want to share that were really pivotal. On page 159, if anybody has the book, just so you know where this quote is. But it says, "Some wonder if it is unfair for God to allow so many to have no knowledge of the gospel. But there is no injustice in God. The injustice lies in Christians who possess the gospel and refuse to give their lives to making it known among those who haven't heard. That is unfair." Well, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever experienced anything like this, but I had an instant change, like instant change in my priorities. I knew that the Lord was calling me to do something vocational with my life, to be involved with spreading the gospel. And so later on, I read a section, and this is where things really got interesting, about missionaries and about those who go out into the far reaches of the world and those that stay. And as I was reading, I had this question just come into my mind, and it wouldn't go away. And it's still in there today. And that question was, why wouldn't you go? And, you know, I just contemplated that for a long time. I think I set the book down and just thought about it. I considered every area of my life, you know, my work, my family, my kids, all these different things that you would think about. And I said, I think I may have said it out loud, there's really no good reason why I wouldn't go. So from that point forward, that was about 4 years ago, I knew that I was supposed to be involved in world missions. I was supposed to go somewhere. I didn't know where. I didn't know what it was going to look like yet. But that was to be determined later on. Do you want to talk about your reaction to all that?
Sure. He read the book, and we have two different reading speeds. So he was about halfway through, and he said, "Wait till I'm done with another chapter, and then you can read it, because I skim and I go quickly." So I was reading the book and saw everything that he did. We have very different personalities, different ways of looking at things. And so in our marriage, I'm the one that will drop everything. I tried to talk him into living out of an RV and traveling the US, or, you know, joining the Army when we were first married so that we could travel everywhere and he could still have a job. So going somewhere, that sounded like a blast to me. He didn't have to convince me very hard at all. And so God fulfilled a lifelong dream. I went to college, and one semester I had a major of missions work. And so this sounded like a blast to me. And Alaska, I've always wanted to live. I mean, at this point we didn't know it was Alaska, but since I was 13, I wanted to live in Alaska. So I'll go. It can be warm. I'm not a fan of warm, but that's okay. I'll go wherever he wants me to.
All right. So one of the big things that I was really convicted about was the reason this book was difficult is because my personality type naturally just kind of grasps onto structure and order and routine, and that's kind of how I was finding my security when all this started to happen. And the Lord was just trying to just break me of that. And he brought two verses of scripture really into our family, and these are kind of our theme scriptures, and we are trying our best to live these. And they're from Matthew chapter 16. Verses 24 and 25. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" And I just love to paraphrase that verse. Our true life is found when we give up the comfortable one we think we should live. That's really what it's meant for me. So that's kind of how we sort of got called into missions. It was a very low-key way, a book, but that's the way it happened. And so Kingdom AmeriCorps. So why did we choose Kingdom AmeriCorps? Why this ministry? Why this aviation ministry? Well, our hometown, near where we live, is Vestal, New York. That's where our church is. And the founder and director of this ministry, his name's Dwayne King. He is also from that area. And so we have been familiar with Kingdom AmeriCorps forever, it seems. And so he was speaking around the time of us being called, and a friend of ours happened to be going at this time on a short-term trip, just for a week, like a vision trip. And he came back, and he was telling us about the ministry and what they did and what they were looking for. And just to let you know, we're not involved in the flight side of things. It's a flight training ministry, which is, and we didn't want to be. I have no desire to be a pilot. I didn't at that time. But after we talked to our friend Kevin, who had been there, he left, and we stood at our kitchen table, and just both looked at each other and said, I think the Lord wants us to check out Kingdom AmeriCorps. So that's how we sort of gotten involved with that ministry. So we want to go into some specifics with you about Kingdom AmeriCorps right now, but we're going to start that with a quick video.
Kingdom AmeriCorps is a mission organization that seeks to train pilots in these airplanes to be missionary pilots, not just to be another Alaskan bush pilot. Alaska's full of bush pilots, has a huge opportunities in that area. And that's, our goal isn't to train people to that type and quality of flying. Our goal is to train people who have a heart's desire to serve the Lord with their life. And so our goal here at Kingdom AmeriCorps is to train people either from scratch or give them further training to help them along the way to be able to go to places to share the gospel and disciple people where you can't get to otherwise.
We fly old aircraft, many of them made in the 50s or 40s, some of them. 40s, 50s, and 60s aircraft. Cessnas, Pipers, Beechcraft. And these aircraft are refurbished and built up, fixed up, and put back into full-time service. They're great. Most of them are donated by people who want to give their aircraft to mission endeavors, and they want to see their airplanes put into the Lord's work. And it thrills many donors of aircraft. We take them, we refurbish them, we overhaul the engines, we put the radios in it, and we then put them to work. And several of them we have shipped overseas in containers and put them to work in Russia and in Thailand.
We got lots of mountains like this. We've got lots of rivers, lots of swamps, and there is no real way to travel village to village other than an airplane. And so here in Alaska, the dynamic of aviation is so much different that it makes a perfect training ground for mission aviation.
Where we can train these missionary pilots in the real world of bush flying, bush missions. They can learn to operate off of short strips, gravel bars, village strips, grass. These are areas that we learn and we teach in the wind, the weather, the mountain passes. Deep mountains full of glaciers and ice and rock. It is a tremendous place to train up these missionary pilot mechanics.
Nobody's paid here at Kingdom AmeriCorps. It's all volunteer. The flight instructors will come out, spend time with the students, teaching them ground lessons, teaching them about the flying, the rules. We help people get experience. Pilots that come can have an opportunity to work in the hangar and to spend time in there to get a feel for what aviation maintenance is like.
So our mission statement is to go in the power of the Spirit of God with the Great Commission, the command of God, to go to the uttermost parts and preach the gospel, establish local churches with native believers. We can do that because we're pilots. And we can go to where the gospel has never been reached.
So that's just a little bit of an intro to Kingdom AmeriCorps. And I'll tell you, we have seen that video probably, I don't know, 100 times. And every time I see it, I get re-excited about the ministry. And I just can't wait to get back there. It's such a beautiful place. Am I right? I mean, it's great. So Kingdom AmeriCorps to us, we've thought a lot about this, and it's kind of divided into like four parts in our minds. And so we're just going to talk a little bit about each one of those. So the first part is the bread and butter, which is the flight training. So there's a stat out there, and if anybody is a stat person, you can go to the website joshuaproject.net. But there are still 7,000 unreached people groups in the world. Not people, but 7,000 different languages that have never heard of Jesus Christ, or maybe they have, but there's no churches or other Christians around them. And a lot of these people groups are in really remote, difficult places to reach. And so Kingdom AmeriCorps is a perfect ministry to be able to help with that. Basically, what we do at KAC is we provide flight training for people that want to use an airplane as a tool to tell other people about Jesus. And we do it in Alaska, where the terrain is rough and the weather is constantly changing. There's wind, there's rain, there's sun, there's clouds, and that can all happen all in the same day. And it's just a great environment to learn how to become what we call a bush pilot. And then these students, once they learn and train there, they're so much ahead, further ahead of the game, and they're ready to be a bush pilot because they've had that unique experience. Also, another cool thing about Kingdom AmeriCorps, are there any aviators here, any pilots? I know Vince is. A lot of the pilots tell me that when I describe how much it costs to get your private pilot license, just, you know, out in the secular world, that it's a lot more than this, but it's at least $10,000. Sometimes they tell me it's closer to $15,000 or $18,000, and a private pilot's license is kind of the first rung on the ladder of you know, the different achievements you can reach as a pilot. So at Kingdom AmeriCorps, we don't charge our students. We don't bill them. We have a very simple suggested donation scale, and they donate toward room and board and some airplane fuel. The rest of it is all done by volunteer instructors. So we don't have to pay instructors' fees, any of that stuff. And it's so important to us as a ministry to just get these students onto the mission field to reach those 7,000 people groups without a lot of debt, which is really, really unique. So that is one of the things that we love about Kingdom AmeriCorps. Some more stats, like over a training season. Our training season runs from middle of May till, oh, maybe the middle of September. So on an average summer, we'll have around 13 flight students. We'll fly 850-plus flight hours and use 7,500-plus gallons of airplane fuel. Just to give you an idea, that's a lot of fuel, and it's not cheap. We also have, and we really, really love and get excited about our international students, students that come to Kingdom AmeriCorps from a different country, already having citizenship and knowing the language. And so they can come and learn at Kingdom AmeriCorps and then take the knowledge back to their country and get an aviation ministry started really, really fast without a language barriers and the citizenship and things like that to have to deal with. So that is really exciting to us. We have alumni from Kingdom AmeriCorps. I think we've had hundreds of people that have come and trained over the 20 or so years. We have alumni in Asia, Thailand, Russia, Alaska, and then our newest family that have left Kingdom AmeriCorps and gone onto the mission field. This is the Condon family, and they're in Papua New Guinea right now. And we had a chance to get to know them over the past few years, and we just love talking about them because we've watched them get flight training, go through the whole process of getting on the mission field, and now they're there. And it's just, this is an example of, if Kingdom AmeriCorps were a business and we put out a product, that would be it. And it's just so cool to have gotten to know them. So that's kind of the flight training part of Kingdom AmeriCorps. Another really, really amazing thing that we do, each summer, Kingdom AmeriCorps puts on a Bible camp for remote villages, and I'm going to let Stacy talk about that.
So here we have a map of Alaska, and the blue dot And the heart, down kind of in the bottom, in the middle, is where Kingdom Air Corps is located, near Chicxulub in Alaska, about 90 miles northeast of Anchorage. The red dot on the top is above the Arctic Circle, and that is Crevice Creek. So this is Alakaket, one of the villages. And so we have our flight students that come up, and they will be training and learning how to fly airplanes, and then they take a couple of weeks. And this is hands-on missionary work. So they will make the plans. They have to make the flight plans. They have to look at the weather. They have to pay attention to if there's wildfires and if they can actually fly and do all of those things to fly to these villages. There's four or five that we went to this last year. Pick up kids, fly them to Crevice Creek where we have camp, and then put camp on, and then fly the kids back home. And for many kids, this is the only exposure to Christ they will have all year round. Some of these villages don't have church, they don't have missionaries, they don't, now that the internet, you know, and COVID, they got Zoom stuff going, so they can have some connection with the outside church world, but they don't really have a lot. So they look forward to this all year round. And so then the students will turn back around and then do it all over again for another group of kids. This is one of them landing, and they search out the camp counselors that they've had for the last couple years, and there's lots of tears and hugging and excitement, and it's just really amazing. And this is a couple of our kids are in that, the counselors in the back, and then the craziness in the front, which is middle school kids. So much fun. Okay, that's you.
So we just want to park. Usually we wouldn't stay too long on Kingdom Miracle or on Brooks Range, but this past summer, it was really special to our family because a few of us actually got to go to camp. I got to go as a Kingdom Air Corps staff member, and then my daughter Emma, who is over here, and my son Ian, who's not with us, they got to go and be co-counselors for the 2 weeks of camp. And just to be able to experience that was amazing, and I kind of didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how these kids would be. For some reason, I thought they'd be different because they were in a remote village. They're just kids, just like mine and just like yours. The only difference is they don't have a church like this to go to every Sunday, not even once a month, not even once a year, some of them. And the longer I was there, the more I began to just fall in love with these kids and just really, really just have a renewed vision for how much the Lord is still not done with the Great Commission. We've all heard the Great Commission, you know, make disciples of all nations. He is still very busy at this work, and we were there and just got to experience and see the need for the gospel and for Jesus in these kids' lives. And it just kind of really renewed our commitment to be doing what we're doing, and it was just a really neat time. I wish my son Ian was here because it really impacted him, but it was just a great time for all of us. And
it's the one on the right. In the hat on the right-hand side in the gray T-shirt. That's our Ian.
It was a life-changing experience for him. He really thinks he wants to be involved with kids and some type of ministry for the rest of his life. And he's just about 18, so it really, really changed him. And it was just an incredible experience for us. So another part of the ministry at Kingdom Air Corps, and these next two ministries, they're not really ministries that anybody's ever tried to be intentional about forming, but they kind of happen. They just happen. And the first one is work teams. This is a picture of during the flight training season, if you can picture, there's an airstrip going down the middle of this property, and flight training is going on, and that's the mainstay. But then all around the outside, there are all of these maintenance and construction projects and improvement for the land that we're on. And this one has been taking place over the past couple of years. It's a new staff house. And that just, there have probably been 25 or 30 different work teams of maybe 10 people each that have worked on that house. So, you know, a couple hundred people have worked on that house. And work teams come to Kingdom Air Corps. And I know that the Shireys and the Grolemans could attest to this, but you come to Kingdom Air Corps and something happens. The Lord works in you, and you see what he's doing around the world, and it just, you want to come back. You want to keep coming back. You want to be a part of what he's doing up there. And so another neat thing about this picture, this happens to be the home that we'll be able to live in once we're there full time. So it was exciting to be able to talk about that house a little bit. And then the fourth part of the ministry is with our volunteers. We will have just single volunteers or maybe a husband and wife, just some random volunteers that will come up each year and just to kind of check things out. And again, the Lord does work in their lives. There was one young lady that came 2 years ago. Her name's Amanda. She came just to kind of check out Brooks Range Bible Camp because she found out about it on the internet. By the end of that summer, she decided that she wanted to be a pilot. And then last summer, she came back, was continuing on her flight training, and the Lord called her to work with teenage girls. And so she spent the winter in a remote village in Alaska ministering to kids. And less than 2 years before that, she had never even been to Kingdom AmeriCorps. So just two neat areas of ministry that we didn't think were going to happen, but they just happened. So that is just really, really, really encouraging to us. And so my wife loves to talk about the fun things that we do in Alaska because we do have fun. So we'll just kind of pump the brakes a bit here, and she'll talk about some fun.
So we work really hard, and we have a lot of fun because it's gorgeous. Lots of glaciers. That's the white stuff in the background, the ice. And to the right, you can see some familiar faces, possibly, kind of. So we had Lauren and Molly and Stephen and Daniel. And I don't know why I put the sisters and the brothers and Vince. Yes, I'm sorry, Vince. So, yes, we all got to hike on the glacier, and it was a lot of fun. And it took about 3.5 hours with the crampons on your feet. And, you know, sometimes you're walking really carefully because the holes are really deep and they're really cold and you don't get out easily. So,
but nobody fell in.
Nobody fell in. We did not have any emergencies, which was very helpful. So here's the pastor of our home church that came up with us for a week this summer. He got to come up and see, and when we were hiking on the glacier. This is some of the girls and us. This is the second week of September. We had snow at elevation, and somebody made the snowman. We don't know who, and we just took the selfie because it's fun. It's one of our favorite places. That's Hatcher Pass, and make lots of friends. So this is a local family that we have gotten to know, and we just went over to their house for dinner one night, and the girls were having a good time, taking a walk. And this is one of our favorite places, Hatcher Pass in the fall. The red in the front is fireweed. It has beautiful flowers in the summer, and then fall, it's just blankets the hillsides in colors. Gorgeous. Is that where we are? Okay, that's where we are.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. I highly recommend coming if you could ever do it. We always want more work teams and more volunteers, so
I need lots of help.
Come on up. So what do we actually do there? I mentioned that we are not involved in flight, which is kind of weird to be involved with the flight ministry but not wanting to fly. Well, the ministry has grown really fast over the past 7 or 8 years, and they were really kind of top-heavy on the flight side of things, and they needed administration, they needed staff care, member care is a part of missions where people, other missionaries take care of missionaries that are on the field. So they gave us two roles that had not existed in this ministry before. So Stacy will talk about hers, and then I'll be back to mention mine.
I am hospitality supervisor, so I am in charge of the kitchen, the dining hall, and housekeeping departments. I oversee 6 of the full-time staff, and this is our dining hall where we eat meals 3 times a day. It's kind of like a camp-like environment, so everybody will come to have breakfast and with delicious food cooked by Lauren and Molly for a week or so, and so then we have devotions, and then we scatter to do work, whether it's work teams working on some of the houses, or the flight students will go do their stuff, and then we'll come back for lunch, and then scatter again, and then come back for dinner. And so that begins May, like the beginning of May, middle of May, and then ends, that's our flight training season. Last summer, we had 150 volunteers come through. That's not flight students, that's not instructors, that's just volunteers to come through and work on the property, 9 of which of them were specifically for hospitality. We made over 240 beds and cleaned over 386 toilets. It's not my favorite job, but somebody has to do it, and it's, you know, we're just doing what God has asked us to do. And the most awesome stat of the summer which Lauren and Molly can definitely attest to, is the kitchen fed over 16,200 meals last summer alone. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that do a lot of hard work that need some yummy, hearty food. So we have a good time.
And just a little thing here. Our cooks are probably our favorite people that come. Everybody on staff would say
that. Oh,
yes.
Because
they take really, really good care of us. Yes. So my role is called human resources / staff care manager. And there's really two parts to that. The HR stuff is just administration. Most have heard of the HR person. We were joking yesterday, Stephen and I and Daniel, that the HR guy is usually the one you try to avoid because they're always trying to track you down for some type of a signature or something like that. So I do have to do that type of stuff. But my favorite, the best part of my role is the staff care, and that's sort of kind of a pastoral type thing. I help or facilitate help with any type of problems that the other missionaries might have. You know, interpersonal conflicts or financial stuff or marital stuff, anything like that's a life challenge that they need help with. I don't always have the answers, but I'm there and I can facilitate it, and so I really, really enjoy doing that. And we've worked the past two summers to establish these jobs, and we've had a lot of positive feedback from other staff, not because we're awesome, but because the roles exist. And so that was really, really gratifying to us that we could actually get involved in ministry so fast, really, and really make a difference. So we are excited about that. So that's our ministry and our roles. And so what are we doing right now? Why are we standing here in Indiana when we live in New York? Well, we've recently stepped out in faith in two really, really big decisions. I had almost a 30-year career in manufacturing. I was a CNC machinist. I don't know if anybody here knows what that is, but I did that for almost 30 years. And February 10th, I walked away from that job. And we decided that this is the year that when we go back to Alaska in June, we're not coming back to New York. We're still raising support. We're not fully funded yet. But we really felt peace from the Lord that it's time for us to just go for it. So that's what we're looking at in the next couple of months. We're in the process of selling our home. We own a home there. Stacy's still doing homeschooling. We still have family stuff that's going on. But that is really what we're looking towards. And if you think of us, as we sort of get ready to wrap up, if you would think of us, we would love prayer for just a couple of areas. One of them is our financial support. It's kind of our biggest need right now. We're 65% funded, which we are super excited about. But in order to be fully funded, we still need to raise about $3,000 a month. And I don't like talking about money, but I'm always encouraged to mention the need. So I'm mentioning the need. Our kids could always use prayer. It's challenging for them, too. They're leaving a lot of friends. They're highly involved in youth group and church, and they love Alaska, and they've made a lot of contacts up there and friends. But it's hard, and it's sad when you're leaving everything you've ever known to go start this new life. And then also just some quick things like that our home sale would go through smoothly and that we'd have a great drive. We're going to drive up in June. And so if there's anything that maybe you feel like we've left out, or you want information on any of our story or more details, or you even want to know how you can partner with us financially or prayer-wise, we have information. We'll be out in the foyer afterwards. Please come and ask us. And if you don't want to today, grab a prayer card and just call us. We would love a phone call anytime for any reason at all. We would love to talk to you. So I want to close with a quote, and this is from a book called Open the Sky by Mark Winheld. And this quote is from an unknown missionary wife, and she was really struggling to be on the to find her purpose on the field, and Stacy and I read this quote, and we really feel like it represents exactly where we are. So I'm going to read this, and then I'll close us in prayer. So she says, "I spend all my time trying to make myself valuable when my job here is to magnify someone else. I had forgotten why I am here, not to be valuable, but as a sacrifice poured out on his altar because I love him. I'm not here to make a difference or even to survive, but to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I did not come here to be meaningful, useful, or comfortable. I came because he asked me to." So that is our heart. And I appreciate your time. We've enjoyed sharing with you this morning. Thank you so much for coming out and listening to us. And again, get with us at the end if you have any questions, and we'd love to talk with you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Jesus, for what you did for all of us. And it's so amazing to be able to talk about what you've done right around this time of year when we're focusing on what you came to do. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love for us, Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing in this world. And we thank you that even though you don't need us, you've called each one of us, wherever we are, to be included in this work, not because you need us, but because you want us to be a part of it. You want us with you. So we thank you so much for that. We thank you for Middletown Church of the Nazarene that has let us come here and share what you've been doing in our lives. And Lord, we just give you all of the credit today. It's all you. This is your show. We just get to play a part. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this service this morning. And I pray that this church would be blessed and every person that sits here today would grow closer to you and that you'd make a name for yourself in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Dennis and Stacy, for that presentation and message. Can we just thank them real quick? I love, creativity is something that is going to have to happen in the church to keep the kingdom alive. And I love that in our country where we experience these freedoms, they found this awesome training ground to just affect the entire world for the kingdom. It's so cool. What an awesome opportunity and that you guys have taken on, inspired by your story and your willingness to step out. And I hope that some of you leave here today inspired to, maybe not fly a plane or go into full-time missions, but take that next step in faith that God's calling you to. And one of those things that might be is hopping on board and support financially. And so we're going to take a love offering. We're not going to pass plates, but there are envelopes in your in the pews. You can donate through those, market Kingdom Air Corps or missions or airplanes or anything that isn't regular tithes and offerings, and we'll get it where it needs to go. If you don't remember exactly what the names are, but mark that. There also, you can donate online. Just put the comment Kingdom Air Corps missionary speaker if you can't remember that, and we will get that sent out. And then I would encourage you, if you're my wife and I support a couple missionaries monthly. It's a huge blessing if you would be willing to jump on board with that, to just see them after at their table, and they can get you set up on how to donate monthly as well. So we just can't thank you guys enough for sharing what you're doing and how God is working in your guys' lives in Alaska and then throughout the world to fulfill the Great Commission. It's really awesome. The band's going to sing, and then I'll pray us out at the end. But while they're singing, just pray about maybe what you'd be willing to give, or even what God's telling you in your life to do to step out in faith. Would you stand and sing with us?